Welcome back to your Healing Buddy podcast with your host, Adina Godet. I am a licensed psychotherapist who enjoys having conversations all about the different areas of mental health. I pray that from every episode, someone takes at least one nugget and is able to apply it to their personal life. Thank you so much for tuning in. Enjoy. Hey, you guys. Welcome back to your Healing Buddy podcast with me, your host, Adina Godet. I have a special guest here. Her name is Desiree. She is a content creator from Virginia, right?
Yes.
And congratulations on 1,000 subscribers. Congratulations to her. I have her here today just to talk about some things that have gone on with her life, whether it is life transitions. She has many life transitions that she's gone through. And I kind of want her to talk about it because I know a lot of people have dealt with some of the things that she's dealt with. Mm-hmm. So I just want to talk about it and see like how she got through some of those things, how she was resilient, how she, you know, just came about, you know, coming here today and being who she is today, how that made her. So thank you for coming.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Okay. So tell the people who you are.
Okay, well, my name is Desiree, as she said. I am from Virginia. I grew up in Virginia, so I've been in Virginia mostly all my life. I just moved to Charlotte last year, February of 2023. I had got a job opportunity out here, so I decided to, you know, I had no kids. I wasn't tied down to anybody.
Okay.
So I was like, why not? You know what I'm saying? Why not come out here? So came out here and that's how it's been going.
Okay, well, how was it growing up in Virginia? What part of Virginia?
So I grew up in Chesapeake, Virginia. Mm-hmm. If anybody knows 757.
She got Rambler Town.
So yes, I grew up in Chesapeake. Well, mm-hmm. I actually was born in Norfolk, Virginia, but then the latter half of my years I was in Chesapeake, Virginia.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. How was it? Like, what was your experience like?
So it was interesting.
Okay.
When I was living in Chesapeake, I was going through a lot, I would say, like emotionally and financially.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I did stay with my aunt for a while in that last year until I moved up here. That was interesting because me and her had never lived together.
Ooh. So, and they say you don't know somebody until you live with them, right?
So us being in the same space was not, it wasn't working out.
Okay. That's understandable.
So eventually I was like, you know, I think it's about that time. Aww. I kind of just, you know, venture out and move. And I know I didn't want to stay in Virginia. Mm-hmm. So it was like, okay, let me start searching in Charlotte.
Okay. Yeah. So was Charlotte always a place you wanted to try, or what other places did you, you know, want to look at?
So Charlotte had been on my list for a while, actually. I would say since about 2017.
Oh, okay.
Charlotte
had
been on my list, to come. Like, I remember just, like, researching Charlotte and Texas.
Okay.
Another place I want to go. And I had visited here a few times since then. Mm-hmm. So every time I came, it just felt like home. Like, I could go anywhere else, but something about coming here just felt like home. Like, it's a nice balance of, like, country and city.
Right.
And, you know,
we're still in the South.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I could get used to this.
Well, good. Okay. So I understand that, right? Like, always visiting somewhere and you're like, oh, I just want to move. Like, I just want to, you get the vibe. But I've also noticed that when I go somewhere and I say that, I'm like, I'm on vacation now. So, you know, sometimes you get a different feel from being on vacation to actually moving.
Yes.
So So after you have moved now, what's the difference between you being on vacation, vacationing in Charlotte, and then like actually living here? Like, what would you say is like the difference? Mm-hmm. And again, what's some lessons that you feel like you have learned from moving here?
That's a good question. I would probably have to say, because you're right. When you go somewhere, it's like, okay, you will say like, oh, I can live here, but you're right. It's like you're on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably have to say, like, this is one thing I would say, like, I prayed about it. That was the number one thing.
Amen.
And so I feel like what makes it different is that I got confirmation from God. Like, okay, this is a okay move.
Right.
So that to me was like the number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, since moving here, I mean, like, it feels like vacation, but at the same time, it don't. Like, I feel like it's like,
because you got to work.
Yeah.
Like, you're not just
still, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I feel like, I would have to probably say, just the fact that I prayed about it. And God was like, that's what kind of made the difference.
Well, I'm glad you got confirmation, because we can't do anything without him. When we start doing things by ourselves, we have to, like, continue to do the things outside of his will if we do it without
him.
And
it don't work out.
It don't. And you're going to be mad. But, okay, so another thing, though, you did move here by yourself. Like you say, you don't have any kids, and, you know, the things wasn't working out back home. So you're like, let's go. You prayed about it, and let's go. So being here alone, though, what would you say are some of the challenges that you did face?
So I would definitely say when I first moved, like upon moving at first, I was like, oh, I'm in a new area.
Right.
Oh, this is about to be.
Lit.
But then it's like, as soon as I got here, the loneliness like sunk in.
Right.
So like, I didn't know anybody here. Right. I had no family here, nothing. And so I would say that was a big challenge at first. And the fact of like, somebody had told me before you move, especially if you're alone or whatnot, before you move to a different state or whatever, find a church home and find like a community of believers, because that was like a challenge of mine. So when I got here, the loneliness, then I'm seeking out other things.
Right.
And I don't have a church. So now that's hard to go. I'm like, where am I supposed to look to find a church? And so that kind of was like a struggle of mine. And so I really kind of like distanced myself, I would say, like from God or whatever. And so with me distancing myself, being outside of his will,
right,
a lot of things, me getting into relationships I shouldn't have been in, like a lot of things happened, and it just,
so you felt like you were just looking for love in different places instead of going back to God, the one who even told you to come in the first place.
Going back to the source.
That's good. That's good. Okay. And you know what's crazy? I'm glad you said that. Because again, like I said, she's a content creator. So one of your videos was about, you know, doubting, you know. And of course, sometimes when God tells us to be obedient with something, that doesn't mean it's going to be hard. Let's be honest. Sometimes it don't even mean that we want to do it. Right.
Okay.
But then when we get into it and we have those struggles, how do you feel like you've gotten through that now? You know, of course, like you said, you might have went outside of his will. You might have did certain things and not had the church home. But what are you doing now to kind of get back into that, you know?
So I will say, it's funny because God had to, with the relationship that I was in, because honestly, I feel like I probably still would have kept going with that.
Right.
But I found out some things with him.
Okay.
And so I feel like that kind of started like, you're like, okay, I need to kind of like, red flags just go, like the red flags are already kind of there.
Woo! And they're going to show up. They're going to be real red.
You kind of want to see like how red can it be.
Like, you're like, I didn't really see that.
You know? Okay. So like, I would say now, like I'm trying to, like I have been going to church more.
Good.
Like, so I'm going to church on Sundays more.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's like, I mean, to some people, it may be a little small, but I'm, like I said, every Sunday, I'm making sure I do that. And then, like, I'm making sure, like, before, like, in the mornings, like, before I'm even talking to anybody, I'm either watching a sermon, doing a devotion, or having some form of prayer. Because, like I said, I have noticed with that video that I did release about the doubt with God, it was like, it was me. Like, I was the one who distanced.
Okay.
So that, me being in those situations. And of course, when you're mixed with people who aren't believers or whatever, you can start to pick up their views on certain things or whatever. And it was just like, God is real all along. It's just, I'm picking up their doubts and whatnot. And so I kind of had to distance myself from those things. It was hard.
And it is hard. Oh my gosh. Especially, they say, you know, it's crazy. I used to be the person that would be like, oh, birds of a feather don't flock together. Right. I used to always, like when I was younger, and then I had to realize, no, not, you're not necessarily flocking together, but at, sooner or later, you're going to adopt something. Or even with being open-minded, you could be open-minded and say, look, you do that, I do this, but sooner or later, it's going to mesh. You're going to, even your thoughts, even if you don't actually do the action, your thought is going to be, well, that's okay. Like, I get it. So now, do you feel like you are trying to find that community?
I am. So I am attending, matter of fact, the church you introduced me to.
Union. Okay, good.
I've been going there recently. And so, yeah, I am trying to kind of like I know this Sunday I'm going to start like the growth track so I can actually start being more involved and get a community.
So with the growth track at the church, so what she's talking about is in Concord, right? It's right outside of the Concord Mills Mall. I think it's down the street from there, outside of Charlotte. There's a church called Union Church that we went to together one time. So they do have different programs because it's a bigger church. So they do have different programs for people to get out in the community and different groups, whether it's mom groups, growth track. So with that, do you already know like kind of what you're going to do or what's your goal? What is your goal?
Girl, I don't even know.
Okay, you just going and
I
you want to see.
I'm going to just go and then see because I know they got different groups.
Yeah.
I don't know what group I want to be a part of yet. I'm going to just go and just at least take that step.
Good.
And then you know, from there, I'm going to see like what else.
I like that. Yes. That's good. So let me ask you this. With going back to your video, right? One key thing you said was, okay, maybe in the video you might have been confused and been like, well, God, what, you know, questioning God, like, why, what are you doing? Why would you bring me here to kind of feel like you left me? Because of course he never leaves you.
Absolutely.
But we will feel as if, okay, you left me. Right.
Right.
But now it sounds like you have a different perspective. You know, you're saying, I'm taking accountability. It was me that, you know, that kind of backed up, right? So would you say you're going to update that? Like, even do an update on your doubt video?
That's funny because I actually was thinking about it yesterday. I was like, I am going to do an update on it. But I'm going to still be honest because it's like, I said, I know it was me who left him. Mm-hmm. But I still somewhat, I still want to experience, that intimate relationship. And sometimes mm-hmm. I feel like I haven't really got that yet to really know without a doubt, mm-hmm. God is God. So right. I am going to, be honest about that. Like, I still am kind of in that phase. But
good.
I'm going to keep pushing though. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this too. Mm-hmm. Even with saying this, because of course, one of the things that I always say when I'm trying to undoubtedly say something, sometimes it's just our anxiety, because God has shown mm-hmm. us plenty of times that he's God, right?
Yeah.
And it's just us again that's like, well, what about this little part right here? Yes. Like, you did this in the big scheme of things, but what about this one little negative thing that I had to go through, right?
Right.
So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. What are some things that you feel like God has got you through, you know, that you can say, okay, this is why I have an example of God. Okay. God is who God is.
I could probably say a few things, honestly. That's okay. What I'm just like, I know God is. I just got to keep pushing.
No, but, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, even when it came to moving here, the job offer that I had, I was late to it. I could, for some reason, the interview was a Zoom interview.
Okay.
And they sent the link. I saw the link the night before.
Right. You were
there. The next day, where is the link?
It's gone.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm like, oh,
email
my God.
Is gone. And where the email go? Is it in my trash? Is it my junk?
Right. And it was in the junk.
Where'd it go?
So I'm like, how did it even get there?
Right.
So now I'm already late to my interview. I'm mm-hmm. 10 minutes late to the interview.
Right.
And so I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm probably not going to get this job. Like, I'm late, because one thing that the manager said at the end of the interview was like, we look for people who are on time. Dependable. I said,
oh. So you already were like, ooh. I had a bad, you felt like you have a bad first impression.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm not going to get this. And so the fact that God came through for that, and then with my apartment that I have now here, is no way. Listen,
people think just because it's the South is cheaper, but in Charlotte, it's almost like I'm in Atlanta. Right. I'm like, oh my gosh,
crazy. Yeah. And they want you to make 2 to 3 times mm-hmm. the rent. So I didn't make 3 times the rent,
right?
So I'm just like, ooh. And the guy at the time, it's so funny because the lady that was there at the time, she is looking through my pay stubs or whatever. And first she tells me I'm good mm-hmm. because I had just received a bonus check. So that's what really put it off.
Right.
But then she's like going back and she's like, I don't know. Like, you know, and the thing is, I had got a letter saying I got approved for it. Mm-hmm. But then she was like, oh, that doesn't really mean anything. And
well, why would they send me a letter and say I'm approved for something I'm not approved for?
So she's like, I have to actually go back and recalculate your income. And I'm like, oh, I'm really not about this. When they actually really look at the numbers, I'm not going to get this. Mm-hmm. Funny thing is, I think they let her go. Not too long after that. So another guy took over mm-hmm. and he just went off the first thing she said.
Bet.
He said the income was good. You good. Let's just go ahead and move forward. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that was nothing but God.
Cause again, you're like, and it's crazy when God, again, that's the part of being obedient and having mm-hmm. faith. I think obedience and faith go hand in hand. Because again, a lot of the times he's telling us to be obedient, but he is going to test you to see if the faith is there too. Because if he's like, if I can trust you with this, I can trust you with bigger.
Yeah.
Right. So and sometimes I'm like, God, why, stop bringing me up through all these tests to get this. I get it. Good God. Right. I'm tired. Oh my God. Take me off the strong soldier list.
Okay.
Please. Right. But again, even in that, it was like, you had room for doubt and you did. And mm-hmm. You may not have had like, okay, but it wasn't over. Right, it wasn't over. Right. And it ended up coming around and saying, oh, okay, mm-hmm. God, you told me to do it.
Okay.
I did my part and it still happened.
And
so
it still happened.
That's good.
Yes, girl, so.
Okay. So I know another thing, you know, mm-hmm. another situation that you might even may have doubt about or had doubt about before mm-hmm. is, I know your mom has passed, right? Yes. What age did your mom pass?
So I was 20. I was going to be 21 in 2 months.
Wow.
So yeah, I was 20 years
right
old.
Before you turned 21. Yes.
She had bought me like a little wine glass and everything that had like 21 customized on the little glass for when I turned 21. But yeah.
Oh.
I know, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So even going into that subject, okay, mm-hmm. you know, with the passing of your mother, mm-hmm. first of all, you're a woman. So that's already, you know, usually mothers and daughters, you know, they have a certain bond that Absolutely. Mothers and sons have differently. You Absolutely. Know, everybody can be close, but they have a different bond, yeah. right? And so you had her for 20 years, almost 21 years. Mm-hmm. How was that losing her? And what, and you know, what did she pass from?
So losing her, I think when it first happened, my mind hadn't really registered that, mm-hmm. okay, well, we're not about it. So I don't think my mind had really registered that I had lost her, because at the time, my aunt, she came from a different state, her sister.
Okay.
And so she had to be back to work, mm-hmm. you know, really, like we had, so everything wow. had to be done within that week. So my mom like passed on a Monday, the funeral was on a Saturday.
That Saturday?
Yes.
you weren't even able to process.
No, like I was sometimes, like I would just be sitting there and just like, I didn't want to get up. And she was like, come on, we got to get up. We got to get the flower
arranged. Like, girl.
And I'm just like,
give me a second.
I'm tired.
Right.
Like, I'm just, you know, I'm trying to process, like I'm in this house. Right. And, you know, my mom.
So you were still living like, in yeah. the house that you mm-hmm. grew up in or with her?
Yep. I was still in there. So I'm just like, I'm tired. And then at the time we were taking care of her nephew, mm-hmm. Cause he had some like, you know, mental issues and stuff.
Okay.
So I'm having to get him ready for school and iron his clothes wow. and all this stuff and pick up the stuff. So it just, I didn't really process it when it first happened, mm-hmm. but over time, I think after the funeral, when mm-hmm. I got home,
when it hits you
is when everything hit, like the mm-hmm. house is quiet. It's just me and my twin brother. Mm-hmm. And it's just
not
like,
all the aunt. Come on, exactly. let's do this.
She's gone now. Mm-hmm. She's gone back to her hometown. And so it's just like, I go in the bathroom. I see my mom's toothbrush mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And I'm just like, this is really reality
right.
now. Like,
right.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even, what did she pass from? Was it random? Was it spontaneous? Or was it something it was built up and you kind of knew what's going to happen?
No,
oh, wow.
I did not expect this at all. Wow. Like, and it's so funny. I was looking back on my phone recently, mm-hmm. just through old videos through my Dropbox and looking at old videos. Mm. And I saw a video because it was the night it happened. And I've always wanted to do YouTube stuff. So I'm yeah. recording me like making food in the kitchen or whatever. And I, wow. that just brought back a lot of like sex. That was the actual night that she had passed.
Right.
But no, it caught me off guard. I never expected it. I just know one night, like I'm up watching TV. And before I go to my room, she has like this cough, but it sounds like an unusual cough, mm-hmm. but I'm thinking nothing of it. I'm
right.
thinking, you know, the window is open. Maybe it's just like an air drift, whatever.
Right.
So I'm thinking that I go to my room and next thing I know, not maybe like 10 minutes later, mm-hmm. my nephew at the time, like I said, she was taking care of, he was in the mm-hmm. living room still. And he was just like, Ray, your mom, she's trying to walk outside. She can't breathe. And I'm just like, so I run out to the living room and I see her like outside, like she's by the door and she's trying to like grasp for air or whatever.
Wow.
And then she comes back in and she just passes out. And I don't know how to perform CPR.
Right,
so now
right.
I'm like, okay, let me just call 911. Mm-hmm. My brother though, he knew mm-hmm. how to do it. So I call him from his, I'm like, mom is not breathing. Like,
right.
You got to give her CPR or something.
Right.
He tries, but it's not working mm-hmm. or whatever. And so, finally 911 come and I could feel like things were kind of, I could see that she probably wasn't responding or waking up, because when she was in the ambulance, you could see them doing the thingy through the glass window, the trying to resuscitate right. or whatever. But yeah, so it wasn't too long after, maybe a few days after, they ran some tests and they was like, you know, she's brain dead. And they feel like it was because of a heart attack.
Okay.
And so mm-hmm. she was only like, what, 52, wow. 53, something like that. But they was like, surprisingly, the older you are, I think he said, the easier it is to like come back from her versus the younger, like her age.
I would have never known
yeah,
that.
I was like, that's weird to me. But yeah, so yep, she ended up so the breaking
wow.
heart attack.
Oh my
so,
gosh. Yeah. Girl. Yeah. So, okay. Now let me come from a therapist perspective yeah. too, because you know, okay. Because when you're saying that, I'm like, okay, one, it was spontaneous, right? Okay. It wasn't anything that you knew she had any heart problems
Never
or you cancer.
Right.
And yes, it's hard regardless, but I think sometimes it's easier to prepare when you mm-hmm. know somebody you is know. Sick. Mm-hmm. But it was random. So one, that's just, oh my gosh, that's shocking. And that's so much of a transition, yeah. right? But then you're saying that you were actually in the house. You were the one to call the 911, mm-hmm. the ambulance, try to help her, of course, called the brother. So during this time, you're mm-hmm. actually witnessing the event and you're yes. having direct exposure to the event.
Yes.
So it's not even just grieving. It's actually traumatic.
Trauma.
Exactly. So yes. A lot of people that are grieving, they forget, like, if you are actually in the event, mm-hmm. it can be traumatic for absolutely. You, and you can have PTSD from that, you know, absolutely. Post-traumatic stress disorder. But yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, because I was like, I could see her eyes, like, she's just like, right. you could tell she's just about to be gone. And mm-hmm. I'm just telling her, like, why my brother's doing this to you. And it really hit him to the mm-hmm. hardest, because he's the one trying to give CPR. Mm-hmm. And to him,
so he might feel like he didn't save
exactly.
her.
Exactly. And he told me that one night. He got so drunk one night. And he just came in my room and he was just like, you know, I feel like everything is my fault. Mm. You know, I didn't have a chance to save her and I really tried. And it was just like, I didn't know what to say to that, because I'm like, you know, it's not your fault. You know,
yeah, we can say that all day long, but absolutely. If that's what they feel.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And I just remember telling her, like, you know, like, I love you, Mom. I love you, Mom. It's going to be okay. It's going right. to be okay. But yeah.
Right. Oh my gosh. Okay. Okay. Sure. No, that's a lot. So skipping the funeral, going mm-hmm. after that. So, like you said, the house is more quiet. Your mm-hmm. brother and your nephew are still there, or are yep. they trying to make arrangements for, like, your nephew? Like, how did that happen? Were you taking care of him?
So, actually, you're right. My nephew, his dad, who was very absent in his life, mm-hmm. Wind up probably because he felt like money was, I don't know, because he gave him back after a few weeks. But he decided he wanted to take him, and my nephew hated that at the time. But yeah, he decided he wanted to take him. So yeah, it's just me and my brother at this time in the house.
Mm-hmm. So how'd you go through that? How'd you, even in now, because of course I will talk about now, you know, what's mm-hmm. the difference in how you kind of transitioned and how you processed it mm-hmm. from, because right now, how old are you now? 30?
I'm 31 now.
31. So that was 10 years
Almost
ago.
10 years ago. Yep. 10 years ago.
It was 10 years ago. And so you got to think about it, you know, from a decade, literally a yes. decade. How has the transition from grieving then to grieving now?
So I would say, like, then I was drinking, like, heavily. Mm-hmm. Like, and then, you know, I'm 21 now.
Right.
2 months now.
You said, I can go get it. I can go to the store. I don't have to ask anybody. Honestly,
and to be honest, I didn't realize until sometime later that mm-hmm. I was doing that as a coping mechanism.
Yes, yes.
But at the time, I'm just feeling like, well, I just want to drink. I'm going to keep drinking.
And
like,
that's the only thing that's helping me get it out my mind.
Exactly.
Or not think about it as much.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I could recall so many times where I'm getting drunk in front of friends and I just start talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? That's so embarrassing.
No, but, I mean, they say so when they say drunk thoughts and sober thoughts, yes. but you're just not saying it.
So I would get, I mean, drunk mm-hmm. a lot of the time. Honestly, that's it. When I think about it, that was my coping mechanism mm-hmm. then. I would say now, no, I'm not drinking it. I would say now, mm-hmm. I did try therapy early this year. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to find a new therapist.
Okay.
But so yeah, therapy. And then now, if I'm being honest, I don't think I try to think about it too much mm-hmm. now.
Like, but do you feel like it's an avoidance? Because again, let's be honest, time does heal things too, right? Mm-hmm. And so not necessarily that, oh, I'm just not is it just you're not thinking about it or on purpose? Or is it because, like, oh, okay, time has, I'm healing. I feel like I'm mm-hmm. I've coped with it a little bit more to where, okay, if I think about it, I'm okay with thinking about it. But if not, it's just, you know, because time has passed.
I would say it's avoiding it.
Okay.
It is very much avoiding. I don't think it's something, like I said, this is actually the first time I'm actually, like, talking about it. So
we have an exclusive. Yeah. We have an exclusive. She said it's the first time she's actually talking about this. See, look at the Lord. Lord, hold on, let me pause for a second. We're going to ask the Lord right now to let whoever this needs to reach, okay? To touch them, you know, as it's touching her, because she is just now getting this out, and I'm so happy that she can do this here and feel safe to do it. So,
yes, absolutely.
Aw, yes. Okay, but you're avoiding it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, avoiding it. But I will say the thing is, like, as you get older and you experience different things, like me moving out here.
Yes.
It's like, it's those times when it really hits. And mm-hmm. it's just like, man.
You feel like you don't have any guidance.
Exactly. Like, mm-hmm. and I knew she would be a person I could be like, she would probably come here all the time and come see me, hang out with me, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Probably helped you and move.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that's been, it's knowing that I'm going to go through reach certain mm-hmm. milestones in my life. And she's not going to be there to, you know,
So do you feel like since she has passed, you've looked for, like, motherly or nurturing figures since then, like during this 10 years?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And sometimes I feel like I'm picking the wrong people.
You say, hold on now.
Because I just desire it so much. And I can be an open book. And sometimes mm-hmm. I will just start spilling stuff, you know, and sometimes I'm realizing not every like older figure should be that motherly figure in my life.
And I think too, that's what I feel like, that's what anybody, right? Like whether it's with friends, with it, when it's with mentors or just any relationships, especially. But I think too, I think all of it's the same when you think about it, relationships as a whole. How are we going into the relationship? Are we love bombing? Are we just like, oh, I feel this chemistry. We vibe where, you know, I feel good with this person, whether it's friends or again, like I said, mentors, relationships, and we just get happy because we feel like the void is, you know, just filled at that moment. Right. And then we're like, oh, hold on. I don't really know them. Like, you say, hold on now. We good. And that's okay. I think sometimes we also have to put people in certain places. Like, you know, are you a person I could come to for this? Because you actually are open-minded and you have the wisdom. But or again, am I just telling you this and you actually, you know, are using it either against me or you don't even know how to handle it.
Absolutely. And I would say now the closest person I probably had, like my dad's wife, she's, I call her my bonus mom. So she's probably like the closest, like, I have her, so it's like I don't need to have to keep looking for
That's good. So do you have y'all always had a relationship? I don't know how long your dad has been married to her. How long has he been married?
I want to say it's been like 6 or 7 years.
Okay, good.
So yeah, I've had her for some time.
And so do you feel like you clicked automatically, or was it something you had to grow into? Like, were you ever a person that was like, she not my mama, so, or, you know, because some people do. So, you know, but or was it something, okay, she's good. Let me, you know,
I
get to know
her. With her, we clicked automatically. There wasn't really like, from when I first met her, she was very, she just seemed very like genuine and just like, you could just come to her about anything at any time. Cause she has daughters herself. So I feel like she really kind of understood, like, you know, where I was coming from and whatnot. But yeah, she was from the moment. Like,
That's so good. So you just came in and meshed. I love that. I'm so happy you have her and you, you know, have her as a mom and a mentor. So that's good.
I love it.
Okay. So like, what about celebrities? Because I know sometimes people, again, obviously in reality, we want that mentor and motherly figure, that nurturing figure. But do you feel like you ever even looked up to the wrong celebrities, or even the right ones? Like, you were like, oh, okay, like this one is good and I can use this as like a motivation to help me in certain times that I feel lonely or feel like I do need that motherly advice.
Honestly, I would say no. Like, I haven't really, I don't think I've looked up to any
Well, that's good. So I think too, again, from a therapist perspective, I'm gonna look at it and say that's actually a good thing too, that, you know, because a lot of people, they'll look for that and anywhere, again, personally, but they'll look up to the wrong people in social media because they're like, oh, anybody who's giving advice is, like you said, older and looks as if they're wise. Not everybody's wise, and then they're following the wrong path or just doing copying and mimicking. You know, it's so good.
I have to say
She's like, I'm good. She said, I'm the celebrity content creator, okay? But, okay, good, good, good. So, with therapy, what would you say your experience is? I know you have to look for another one, but what was your experience with therapy?
So, it was interesting.
Oh, Lord, when she used that word, she said it's interesting.
I will say, because that was my first time doing therapy, I don't really know what it is that I'm supposed to be, like, expecting from it. So to me,
but what did you go into it thinking?
When I look at movies and stuff like that, the way the therapist is kind of, they tell, like, not that they, it's like they offer suggestions. Okay, this is me, let's try to do this or try or something like that. And I didn't really get that from mine. It was more so like I'm talking to a friend and she was like, girl, he did what and what? No. And then it'll be over. And I'm just like, I don't got no homework.
So, okay, let me ask this too. Is that something that y'all talked about? Like, because I know, like, I know with my clients, whether it's new clients or clients now, some people need different things. And she might have been doing that to you and you might have needed something else when other people also need, some people do need the, like somebody who is a friend, right? And somebody who is giving that type of relationship. But during the intake, when you first met her, like, was that something you actually said? Like, oh, well, I don't know what I'm expecting, but I do want homework or I do want this. Is that something she talked about?
I actually did mention that to her when I first met her on the first one. But it's almost like sometimes you just forget, like when it came to our sessions a lot. So, or sometimes I feel like I'm researching stuff. I'm like, hey, how about like we try like...
Stop! Stop.
Like, I looked up this. Maybe this is what they're like. Can we try like something like this? So eventually, I was just like,
well, after that, I would have been like, well, she need homework then. Because if she's looking it up on her own and she comes to me, I need to go ahead and say, this is what your assignment is, at least to the next time.
So I'm just like, I will say, like, I'm not going to knock her completely because she did help me with certain things, like the relationship I was dealing with. But we never really got to
the deeper childhood root.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We never got to that. So,
Definitely. And I would say too, she might have just been meeting you where you were, right? Because at that moment you were dealing with a relationship and dealing. So okay, yes, we're gonna say that. But I think too, let's be honest, a lot of times stuff we're dealing with in relationships have to do with the root of what's going on, like our attachment styles. Like you could, and I'm not saying this is you, but I'm saying like usually when people lose parents, they could either be avoidant because they're like, everybody that I come close to, I could lose, right? Mm-hmm. So some people could start being avoidant, and then that could affect their relationships because they're not emotionally present, which I have a video on that, y'all. Okay. But yeah, it's like being emotionally unavailable because they don't know how to process that or express that. Mm-hmm. Or they could be more anxious, like attachment style, and be more clingy because they're like, no, I want to keep, you know, all my relationships and keep them close. And so, but again, in that relationship, like you had said, I know you only said a little bit, but you were like, let me look at the red flag. Let me keep looking. Let me, another red flag, you know.
I love him.
Right. You're like, hold on now. I just love him so much. He couldn't dare do, I can let it go, right? And then you're like, dang, but I'm enabling. Like, I'm enabling now. And, you know, in this relationship, he's not changing. Like, this is just him. And I have to accept that and kind of move forward. And so, but again, even with talking like in therapy, when you do find another therapist, what I would say is say that up front. Like, I need to really, yes, there's certain things that's going to happen and you need to talk about right then because it's going to be recent. You got to process it, but also try to relate it back to what part of my childhood is actually coming out of me, or what inner child part of me, what age is coming out right now, what am I showing, what's my behaviors, you know. So I think that would be a good suggestion.
Okay, I'm definitely gonna do that. Absolutely.
Like, I'm here for a reason. Like, cause let's be honest, we're gonna get to a point in therapy where you do maintenance, you only go twice a month or once a month, you know what I'm saying? And it's just that, it's just keeping up with it. But in the beginning, you do gotta dig deep, and it's hard.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it's hard. Yeah. It's super hard to do that when you're like, I ain't really talked about it, and I've been avoiding it, and now I gotta actually be vulnerable and talk about this, you know, because we're afraid of what's gonna come out of it.
Absolutely. She did mention that to me. She was like, because I, when she was just asking questions about me, like I told her, like, you know, my mom passed,
right?
And so she was like, okay, your mom passed, like what? And then when she asked, I was about to cry. So she's like, okay, I can tell that's just like something you haven't really like, you know, dealt with the heal from. So she was like, we would touch on that eventually, but I just never made it that far.
You're right. Well, maybe when you go into it this time, you'll have the heart as well. Cause I'm glad you started. You have to even give yourself that grace to say, I started.
Yeah.
That's good. So it's not bad that you know, you have to have different experience. Sometimes the first one therapist is not the one. It just is what it is. Mm-hmm. And so I think next time you'll be more intentional too about like, look, this is what I need. Okay. And this is what we need to discuss. Yes. Again, there's going to be recent things that happen because life happens. Let's be honest. Life happens. I got to get it out. But we'll also make sure we come back and, you know, have a balance of both.
Absolutely. That's good. Absolutely. Yeah, girl. I'm going to keep trying. I'm not going to give up on therapy. I think it's something that I really, because I remember watching your podcast with your mom, and y'all was talking about, you know, like therapy and God, and like I really think that's crucial. Like, I mean, yeah, God can do, you know, He can do what is nothing that He can't do.
Okay,
but I think He gives us those tools, like therapists and whatnot.
Resources. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I love having both.
Yeah, and I think too, I also go back when people try to test that. I'm like, okay, well, how about this? Faith without works is dead, if you look at that. So I'm like, okay, you keep praying. What are you doing? What's the action? You're praying about it, and you're asking God, help me to change this, but what are you doing? And again, I'm not necessarily saying you have to go to therapy for that. But if you're not doing anything else either to try to get through what you're, to process, to actually sit with your feelings and give yourself a safe space, what are you doing?
I agree.
Well, thank you for watching that too, and I'm glad like that part got you, you know, where you can like, let me go. Let me see.
Okay.
Good. So hopefully in your journey of finding another one, like hopefully it's good and it's somebody that you can feel safe with to talk about that.
I believe so. I'm a key. Like I put it off for a little bit, but I was like, I do need to go ahead. Cause like at one point I'm like, I'm kind of scared for them to really go deep, and now I'm about to be unpacking all this stuff. Right. Like, but I know it's necessary.
Yeah.
So
always prepare yourself too. If you know that you're going to talk about that day, prepare yourself to go into therapy, even if it's the night before, having like a night routine so you can even have your points. Like, because of course, once you get to talking, you can get into other things, but at least have your main point so it can be easier for you to be like, okay, I'm coming into this not blindly. Okay. You know, so that might be good too. Oh, well, good. I'm proud of you. Okay. So let me ask this. Even though you are going to find more skills and more coping skills, is there something now that you feel like has been working for you just to stay afloat, you know, when you are having moments?
I will say writing, like journaling, is something that's helping me. Like I will, and I've been doing this since she actually passed, is just writing letters to her, like in my journal, and just telling her like about, and sometimes I'll even write from what I think she would say to me.
To get that response.
Exactly. To help me out. So that's been like a big thing like that I've been doing. And of course, you know, prayer and whatnot, but the journaling has definitely been something I've been doing. Yeah.
Okay. I'm proud. And you say you've been doing that since she has passed.
Yeah.
So that's been a consistent positive coping skill. Because I know before you said the negative one. Because let me be honest, that is coping. Yeah, drinking is still coping. Any drugs, any whatever, that's still coping. But there's a difference between positive coping and negative.
Absolutely.
Because the difference will be the consequence, right? So positive coping is going to be the one that's actually going to get you through, and it can actually make you feel good, and you know, in either in the moment or even after.
Yeah.
But the negative one's going to be the detriment. Like, I'm doing this action, but it's going to cause something else to happen. Right, I'm going to have another consequence from doing that, you know? So again, not in a, but you have to understand you were young. And so also giving yourself grace and saying, that's how I knew how to do it, you know? And so, but now you say, I know better, I do better.
Exactly.
So that's good.
Yeah, I know that. If I'm feeling sad, the drinking, I can't.
Good. Okay, so even wrap it up though. So even with, how did you get into content creating? Was that also something that you felt like, oh, well, like you said, writing was a thing, but did you feel like content creating helped you stay busy, distract you, or did you just like it?
So I would say both, honestly. It's something I've been wanting to, like I said, since I was like in high school. Like I was always filming myself. Mom got me a little camera. I'm always filming myself doing something. And so it's always been something I did. And then lately it does help with, like, I guess, like as a distraction, to keep me busy, to not necessarily think about it or whatnot. So
So would you ever share even your experience on your platform one day?
You know, it's funny, I've never actually thought about it, but that's actually really
good. Because you, I'm only saying because I know you get vulnerable with other stuff, right? So I think, and maybe when you're doing therapy, maybe when you find a therapist and you're actually allowed to process it in a healthy way, have a safe space, maybe after when you feel like you're more in tune with your feelings about it, maybe that could be a,
that's,
you know, something
a good idea,
because you don't know how many people, how many you got 1,000 followers with that, and by the time that happens, you're gonna, you know, continue to keep growing because you're being consistent. And again, like I said, I'm very proud of you for that, for being consistent.
You too. Thank you. You inspired me to keep being consistent.
Girl, I'm trying. I'm trying to get back to it. I'm trying to get back to it. Okay, but yes, I think too, like, I think it would be something that's to help, because you don't know out of how many people you're going to have, how many subscribers, who is dealing with the same thing you are at the same time you are. And I had to remember too, a lot of times what stops me is feeling like, oh, I don't want to do it. I don't want to say this. I don't want to have to talk about this, or why do I owe it to anybody? But a lot of times God will convict me probably the next day and say, okay, but I'm taking you through stuff as a testament. You go through the test to have the testimony. You got to share it. And sometimes I'm taking you through things so you can get through it. And then after you get through it, you can tell somebody else that's going through it.
Absolutely.
And can help them, you know?
Absolutely.
So you just never know who you're going to help. So I think that would be something to share.
That's the biggest thing I think we need to remember, is when we go through things, it's not necessarily for the sake of us.
Not always.
It's to help somebody else.
Like, we'll get the lesson.
Yeah, we'll get the lesson.
But also, it's for somebody else too.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And you got to do what you got to do, whether it's even being consistent on YouTube, right? Like, you don't know how your fashion content, how your vlog content, how any, you know, your sit down content, you don't know what is helping whoever.
Absolutely.
You know? So a lot of times it is just being obedient and doing what you gotta do.
Girl, that's actually good though. I never thought about that. Yeah. But yeah, I'm gonna do that.
Good. Okay. Good. Okay, so is there anything that you would want to say to the people, again, anything that's going through, things that you have gone through, anything that you would want to share with them before we end?
I will say, like, for anyone who has, like, lost, like, a parent, or parents, which I know that has to be tough, I would say, like, for me, like I said, my biggest, well, mistake, I think, was like indulging in like, you know, the drinking and things like you said, the negative coping mechanism. So I would just encourage you, and you know, to really not kind of go that route, because at the end of the day, it's not really beneficial. It doesn't really help with anything. If anything, it just suppresses it and not really deal with it. And then I would just have to say, like, you know, seek God for sure. And then, you know, therapy is not a bad thing. So definitely,
we all need it.
Yes. Definitely. So I think just having God and like therapy, like setting up a previous podcast, is definitely something, you know, you should consider to pursue.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. And like I said, like, I really am excited that you were able to even feel safe to talk about it, like, for the first time. Like, again, we'll say that. It's for somebody. It's for some. But for the first time, actually getting it out. I'm very proud of you. Aww. But thank you for tuning in, you guys. Hopefully, you got something from it. If you did, like, comment, subscribe, all of it. Okay, let's have a conversation. And I know we'll put her social media. What is Desirable?
Desirable Beauty. Beauty.
Mm-hmm. Desirable Beauty. Okay, we'll put her on the screen in the box. In the, what is it?
The description box.
There we go. See, the description box. This might be her. In the description box, we'll put it in there for, you know, her to also be included. And if you wanted to follow her and subscribe to her as well, okay, just to follow her journey. Okay, but thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
Bye.